What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm Mike. With me is Kevin Josh. Tonight, we're going to talk all about Riverhounds SC 2-2 draw with Tampa. We'll talk some U.S. Open Cup action with the Fussy Boys and a little about the game against Penn 15 this weekend. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to Kerr.
I'm going to have to try to fix that in post because I hurt my own ears on that one. So I apologize.
I was kind of excited. It's the first time you've done a nice hearty let's go in a while.
Yeah, I was feeling it tonight. You know, it's one of those things where I think there's a lot going on with this team right now and in the next like 3 days and then like the next 3 days after that, the next 3 days after that. So just a lot of action going on with the team right now. So I'm excited. I'm pumped. Let's just get into it. There's so much news that really we could spend the entire time talking about Tampa, but there's just so much else going on. How's your 2-2 with Tampa? Now, I know that, and I don't know where you guys stand. We didn't talk about this at all off air, but I know there's a lot of people who are like, well, you know, it's another draw and they could have played better and all that. I totally agree, but I think there are some things that we need to keep in perspective. Okay, so first of all, this was the very first game this season where the Hounds went down and they fought back. So that's a positive. This is the first time the Rowdies gave up a goal at home all season. And they played against the Monarchs, who are the top team in the league. So, like, that's a positive. We scored on them for the first time. This was the first time the Rowdies haven't gotten a win at home this season. So that's a positive. Would 3 points have been great? Yes. Am I at all concerned that we're running off a string of draws? Not really, but there's like that just, there's just a little pause. Just, it'd be nice to get three. But I just wanted to put all that out there before we get into anything. I think anything that we talk about tonight, and I'm just saying this for myself, is it feels almost like it would be nitpicky. Because like if we were where we are right now at this point last season, I think we'd be out of our minds. So I think, not that we've become complacent because of the expectations and how well this team is doing, but yeah. So that's my little precursor to this whole conversation. Kev, what are you sipping on over there? You got yourself like a tiny teacup and
it is tea. It is a tiny tea. I don't know, it's one of those little clay handleless. This is not good for podcasting.
It's not.
So I'm just going to not talk about it anymore. I'm going to talk about the Rowdies. I don't know. I mean, so you mentioned one of the first points of this is the first time we've been trailing in a game all season. While I was watching the game, my immediate let's say once the game finished, my perspective on that wasn't, oh, that's a shame that this was the first time we were trailing all season. It was how impressed I was that we were able to come back and eventually take the lead in the game 2-1 by the numbers, the hardest place to play in the USL. That was the most encouraging thing for me. Was, I think before the game, if you would have asked anyone here, we would have been happy with a draw. I certainly would have been happy with a draw. We get that. Yeah, we kind of throw the 3 points away. We'll talk about the goalkeeping in a bit. But I thought more than anything for me, this was just a wonderful display of character and of kind of mental fortitude and professionalism. I think it's really easy to concede in the first 5 minutes away from home, tough environment, and just have your head completely go. But I mean, their levels didn't drop for a second. I thought as soon as the Rowdies get the goal, I thought we go on top for a good 10 minutes and we get the goal. And I thought it was a really strong performance. I'll get into kind of more, I don't know, details in a bit once we get past these initial takeaways.
Josh, we were talking a little bit off air about everything going on with the Rowdies around this. I guess, you know, my whole precursor aside, does the fact that they had a brand new coach that they got, you know, midweek. You know, they were, I don't even know if they were playing a different system. How much of that factors into how you feel about how this game shook out?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we might have got lucky with that whole thing that's going on. For people who don't know, Rowdy's fired their coach. Well, sorry, mutual agreed upon the coach leaving. And then they take their star defender, their captain of their team, Collins, and they make him the coach. And he's not an interim coach. He's the coach. Mm-hmm. He's not a player coach. He's just straight up the coach. So they took away their captain. They took away their star defender, and they put him on the bench, essentially, to coach the team. So it was going to be kind of nervy, I think, going into it for them, to wondering what their team would look like without him. Apparently, their team is also already having some issues with their defense with injuries, so they were already kind of weakened in the defense department, so having him leave was kind of a big deal and a big risk, so I'm surprised they did it. But, yeah, so we might have been lucky, but honestly, our goals, one of them obviously was that own goal. That was a pretty weak goal, but our second goal, the Parks goal, was fantastic. I thought that was the best we've seen Parks in that flash, in that moment, all season. But yeah, the other goals on their side, though, the ones against the Hounds. Yeah, not the best. Not the best performance I've seen from the Hounds there. And that's why it feels disappointing. That's why the 2-2 draw, if you would have told me this in a vacuum without me seeing the game, I would have been like, that's awesome. Heck yeah. But with all those factors in there and watching that game and seeing how we fought from behind, got the lead, and then just squandered it, it hurts.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people, it's very easy to look at this game and say, well, you know, the first goal they got was basically a ball that squirted under Dan Lind, and literally the second goal went right through his legs off of a set piece. It didn't look like it took a deflection or anything. Ground was wet, all of that. You know, this is the first iffy game we've seen from a keeper. And I think a lot of us have said that what we haven't seen thus far is our keepers tested. Like, our defense have done such a good job that they're limiting shots. The keepers have come out and they've been aggressive, but they haven't had to face too many shots on target. I'm willing to give Dan Lind the benefit of the doubt, you know, if for no other reason. You know, everybody has an off day. If the conditions aren't great, he obviously wants both of those back. And, you know, we have a bit of a keeper situation right now. Kev, do you want to add something in here before we dive into that whole thing?
Yes, I think at the start of the podcast, I was ready to kind of, yeah, point out the keeper's flaws as well. But you guys kind of took, you guys have already made those comments. But I do want to say, you know, he kind of makes up for it with a brilliant save in like the 88th minute or whatever to keep it at 2-2. I think Flemings from the Rowdies gets a mm-hmm. header from like 6 yards out. And Lynn makes just a fantastic save, which once again shows a lot of kind of, I don't know, I guess character is the word for it, to have the game that he was having and to be able to make that crucial save in the last 5 minutes or so. I thought that was huge. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the second goal, when we're doing a season wrap up and we look back at this game, I think, unfortunately for him, I think this game, for me at least, will be defined by goalkeeping mistakes on both ends, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and I you know, again, I guess what worries me more than the fact that both the goals went in, there was one point in particular where the ball came back towards the defense, and it almost looked like Lind was coming out to play it, and Vanky Azeel just took a second. Like, you could tell there was a second of hesitation where he didn't know whether Lind was going to be there or not, and he headed it out. And after the fact, Lind was like, hey, let it go. And you could see Vanky Azeel was like, I didn't know. And if you start to have that communication breakdown, that's far more concerning to me than the fact that he let in these two goals right now. But to your point, I think he bounced back well, and I think that that's something they're going to work out. Now, you know, they're really not going to have a choice, because up to this point, there's been some back and forth in terms of who's our keeper between Lind and Kyle Morton. We just got word today, Kyle Morton is done for the season. So it's all Dan Lind and Mike Kirk at this point. I'm assuming that the Hounds will probably try to get another keeper. I think, you know, in the past, Lily's tried to keep three on the roster. But, yeah, Josh, what do you think this means? You know, basically losing Morton. How concerned are you at this point?
Yeah, I'm pretty concerned. It's not because I think Lynn is terrible. I do think Lynn is, on a good day, a great keeper. It just, he was having a bad day. But having one great keeper or good keeper and having our third keeper being very untested, very much, you know, very green, Kirk, he's not exactly, you know, have a lot of experience with the Hounds, and I wouldn't want him to be up against Cincy on Wednesday, for example.
Yeah.
I want someone that we have a little bit more trust in and a little bit more experience. We've been really lucky with getting keepers on loan. I would love to see, you know, us to finally get a MLS loan player. Keeper would be, I feel like, an easier one to get. Usually those are the ones that are the easiest to get. And I mean, how much luck did we have with Stefan? That's huge. He's now going to be the national team keeper. So, like, come on, let's do this again.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're being, while I completely agree with you, Josh, I think we are being slightly harsh on Dan Lynn, because I think before this game, I know at least I was saying, like, I'm completely happy with him. For me, he's played perfectly fine all season. And I think this is the first game that he kind of slipped up. I think the biggest thing for him now will be the next game. If he bounces back and has a strong game, then I think we can put all of this to bed. If he comes out and has another shaky game, then I think we have a serious problem on our hands. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much of it is, after Morton being out, maybe it's a mental thing where he is like, oh, now I got to take the brunt of it, and maybe his head just goes for a little bit of a game. The next game is going to be huge for him, I think.
Yeah, and even if he is the starter keeper, we still need someone else. I mean, we can't have just him and Kirk on the bench. You know what I mean? We need a third keeper just to keep it, you know, safe. Because I do think Kirk's a big drop off compared to Lynn. From all reports, that's true. So I would want another keeper. Even if Lynn starts, I want someone right below him that is as much quality as he.
Hunter Gilstrap.
I think the theory is Hunter has it out for, like, all the Hounds. Because what is it with us and keepers? Like, I honestly have never seen a team that has had this many keeper injuries. This is insane.
Yeah.
I don't get it. There has to be something going on.
Yeah. You figure what? We lost both of our starting keepers last year. We had mm-hmm. two on rotation, just like this year. We lost them both. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. How did we end the season? Oh, we had the loanee from the Cosmos.
I think it was Cosmos. I don't know. He's our keeper. He likes to wear green. We don't know his name. Was the chant we'd always say.
that's pretty much what it was. Kev, you've been
quickly before we jump on to the next point. I want to quickly go back into the whole story surrounding the Rowdies' new manager. I think rightfully so. Look at it as an advantage for us, but I think there is also another side of that coin saying that, especially, okay, this new manager is one of their own. He's their captain. The players obviously like him and buy into him. Usually you get a new manager bounce anyway, and I think that's going to be even more enhanced when you have a person of his presence in the dressing room and all that kind of stuff. So I think equally it could have worked kind of in their favor, maybe for a game or so, in jazzing everyone up and getting everyone in the Rowdy side extra kind of motivated. And, you know, maybe we see that in the 3-minute goal or whatever. But, I mean, I'm probably just trying to create a different narrative here to make it sound better for us. But I think it's something to maybe consider.
No, yeah, definitely. There's something that you always hear about the new manager bump, where as soon as the new manager comes in, no matter if it's an interim manager, everyone on the team wants to show that manager that they deserve to be on the field. So they're all going to play with a little bit more mustard just because they want to prove themselves. Which I actually thought maybe having Collins come in, since he knows everyone, they wouldn't have that, like, you know, a little extra push. But they're looking at him with new eyes now, and he has their fate in his hands, so I'm sure they were still playing with a little bit more gusto just because the changes happened and they had to prove themselves to the new manager.
Yeah. Kev, real quick, because I want to get on to one of the other big story points, at least that I took away, but you've been talking about for weeks now sort of Parks having that breakout game, and you guys mentioned the goal that he got. The one thing in particular that I really liked that we haven't seen a ton of, but you see there was at least one or two times in this game where the ball was played in open space. It might have been his first goal, actually. Now that I think about it. But Ball's played open space towards the corner, and you see him quickly get to the ball, and his size and stature with the ball is intimidating to see. And I think that in and of itself is a huge advantage. Now, you know, it's fantastic that he essentially got two goals. You know, the one own goal, I think there was enough spin on it that even if it wasn't touched, there's a chance it's going in. You're giving me the no way in hell look, so maybe I just read that wrong. But the second goal was a good goal. I mean, there was a good cross in. It was a good finish. You know, I'm hoping that this is sort of the boost that he needs to keep going. And we saw at the end of the game, Nico gets subbed in, and almost his first touch, it felt like he puts that right on net too. And so if we get both of them firing in all cylinders, and you sort of have, you know, the one guy who's really clinical, and you have the one hulking body that's just going to mess guys up, like, you know, no pun intended, but like it's... Yeah, I mean, this could be really, really good.
What's the pun?
Yeah, I hear a pun.
When I said mess guys up, it wasn't really a pun. It was just like, I didn't mean that at all. But as soon as I said it, I went, oh, crap.
Okay, gotcha.
But I think...
We're both like, pun? What pun?
Yeah, there's
I thought Parks did have a really strong game. I mean, I think this was the first performance of the season where I was like, oh, yep, yeah, okay, this is what we all remember from him. And if he can do this on a consistent basis, then great. I would have no problem seeing him in the starting 11. I also want to throw out a little note out to, I thought Kerr had a very strong game as well. So there's your little...
I'm choking over here. I mean, I agree. I knew he had a strong game. I knew you knew.
Kerr had a really strong game. I thought Conrado Forbes was particularly good, especially for Parks's, I guess, first goal, but the second goal of the game. I thought silently this was perhaps Forbes' best game of the season so far as well. I felt like
this was the Forbes that we were hoping to see when we heard he was signed back in the offseason. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Hugh Roberts has a really good game as well. I think he's very unlucky not to get a goal himself. Mm-hmm. I forget the moment in the game, but yeah, it had to be off a set piece or a corner or something like that. He's scrambling around and he launches on the end of it. I mean, so that's a positive as well. There's absolutely a lot of positives in this game. Parks definitely being one of them. Can we quickly talk about Joe Cole for a second? I think it's hilarious how I think he probably runs 10% of the time he's on the field and walks the rest of the 90%, and he still gets subbed off at 70, and he's like puffing and up. I think he is, I don't know, I love how everyone, especially their announcers, just love to say, oh, isn't he great? Look at him on the ball. He is just incredible. And look, you can know him being honest, because Joe Cole used to play for Liverpool. And it's just, anyway.
Look, his, yes, he gets the goal off the set piece. I think
how could you even say that? It wasn't a good hit. It was a terrible hit.
He was fortunate that it went through Lynn's legs. Like,
and
it wasn't well placed.
Oh, that's what Joe Cole can do for you. Really? He can cause a goalkeeping error?
Right, I mean, listen, talking to the unused subs guys, I think there's just a lot of admiration for Joe Cole in and around the team, because apparently he does a ton of stuff with charity. He always gives people time. Like, he just seems like a really nice guy. But to your point, like on the field, like that's great. Like, you know, Taylor Washington did a bunch of stuff for the community.
Don't try to soften me up here, Mike.
I'm not trying to soften you up. I'm just saying. Yeah. If you want to hate on Joe Cole, you're more than welcome to
hate on
Joe
Cole.
Yeah, that's fine. I think the biggest storyline for me in this one, though, was the continued missed chances. If this team, I have here, what, five different opportunities where we're inside the 18 getting a clean shot on net.
Can you name them?
Yeah, I'll name them right now. So please. Parks and Kerr both put the ball over the bar when they were inside the 18. Like, they were inside the 18, they both scattered
over
the bar.
I know the Parks chance you're talking about. I don't think that was a clear-cut chance.
That's a clear-cut chance. He was all... Okay, anyway. Dover missed the net from inside the 18 on the 64th minute. Hugh Roberts, as you mentioned, was one-on-one with the keeper in the 67th minute. And then Nico almost scored the second he came in. So
I agree with you with Hugh Roberts and Nico, Brett. I disagree with you with a lot of other things.
That's fine. You're welcome. My point is that... if this team puts away one of those other chances, we're now 3 points. We got 3 more points. We're sitting in first place. Not that we're looking at the table, even though we're 10 weeks in, Josh.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So
have we only played 9 games though.
Yeah, yeah, we have.
Yeah. 10 games. That's a rule. 10 games.
Do we count last week against the Commodores or no?
No, it has okay, to be right. League play.
All right. So, yeah. But, yeah.
I agree with you, Mike. I think we're also one easy save for Dan Lind away from a win here.
That's
but
fair.
At the same time, you know, point me towards any team in the league that has a 90% conversion rate, and I don't think it happens.
I just feel like this has been the storyline thus far this season, where it's like, oh, there's a sitter and it's missed. Like going all the way back to the first Penn FC game, and you know, Francois has had chances that have gone over, and Kerr and Josh.
I mean, okay, realistically, I think if you're looking at two goals with a Bob Lilly team, that means the offense has done their job. At this point, it's the defense's job to keep that lead. Like, we're one more than what we usually have as far as goals go. This is now all on the defense.
You got the Bob Lilly special plus situation. Yeah.
See, but I've been thinking about this more and more. I just, if you look at the possession stats for this game too, I haven't checked them offhand, but I'm almost positive we concede possession here. We maybe get around 40%, guessing.
It was 37.5%.
37.5. Yeah. No one's being precise. I thought more and more, I think early in the season we had the discussion of, well, what is it? He's had games where we have had 60% possession and we've had games where we have 30% possession. I think it's just Lily's system just wants to use the moment when we have the ball. When we're in possession, he has really no interest in just kind of, I don't know, changing the pace of the game or slowing things down or controlling it or taking a slow five or taking a breather. I think every time we have the ball, he's interested in trying to score. So that means players taking a bit more chances. That means just trying to use it. So I don't think it's necessarily that we're just, you know, oh, we're a counterattacking team, or oh, we're just defensive. Or I just think it's every time we have the ball, we're not interested in knocking it. I mean, how many times did the Rowdies just pass it between their two center backs with Parks and Francois and Kirk closing them down? You'll never see us do that. And I don't know. I mean, it's a conversation of whether or not maybe we think we should be doing that. I mean, more possession takes a little bit more pressure off the defense and all that kind of stuff. But I think it is interesting that it seemed like every time we had the ball, there was a clear intention of, I mean, we talked a lot about vertical passing with Dave Brandt. I mean, it's, I think I see it more here in kind of Lily systems than I do with anything we saw under Brandt. But yeah, I don't know. One of these days I want to do a long tangent on how much I love and adore Bob Lilly, but maybe not today. I'll save that for another week.
I mean, we could just piece together every single time you talk on this podcast and make it one super long podcast.
Come on. And I was going to say, after this stretch that we're on, there's going to be a nice little break for the World Cup where I think we don't play for 2 weeks. So there you go, Kev. There's your filler.
I can do
what I was going to say, though, is it's... So I used to think Lilly Ball was holding possession and like just being disciplined, but I don't think we need possession since we are so disciplined in the back. Usually what Lilly Ball is not letting them get any chance on goal at all. They can have the ball as much as they want, but they're not getting a chance on goal. And then when we get it, like you're saying, Kevin, we vertical pass, we do what we need to do with the ball with the time we have on it. But yeah, that which is interesting, because I originally thought like Lilly Ball is going to be, you know, just hold possession, you know, don't attack unless you need that goal, and that was it.
I actually think maybe that's the reason why Nico Bread is so dangerous in our system, is because the reason why we use the ball with intention every time we have it, I think a lot of chances that we end up creating can be kind of chaotic in nature, and you almost have to act on instinct. And I think Nico Bread has wonderful instinct, and you know, all he needs is one touch and it's in the back of the net. And maybe, I mean, Parks does really well for his second goal. Now I'm struggling to remember whether or not he kind of took that quickly, or because I know he kind of toe pokes it. It was a wonderful shot. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, so that might be another little explanation for why maybe Brett flourishes in this kind of system.
And I think the other thing you got to consider too is a lot of people like to look at the possession statistic and use that as a barometer of which team dominated. if Lilly's teams are so sound defensively, we may concede a lot of possession as teams are passing it around their defense, trying to find ways to move the ball up the field against us. I thought one of the things we did really, really well in this game was we did not let them play through the middle. Like, we made them keep the ball away from, you know, Joe Cole and whoever else they had positioned in the middle. Everything went wide. Anytime it went through the middle, we had two or three guys on them, smothering them, making them force the ball backwards. So I'm fine conceding possession if all of their possession is in their own half. Because that's, I think that's essentially what it is. It's, they're not, this isn't like they're coming into our final third and passing it around. That never happens. So, sure, why not?
Do we get those stats on USL? I was trying to find it, and I don't see anything about breaking down the stats of how much the attacking team has, or the other team has the ball in the attacking third. Or whatever.
So they don't have that, but what they do is they have the heat map. And if you look at the Rowdies heat map for this game, they have the ball predominantly in their own half, and also... I just had it up. I apologize. They have it predominantly in their own half, and they have it basically out wide. They almost never had it in our own 18. So, like, sure. They really didn't even have it in the center of the field in our half at all. So it's, yeah, you want to pass it around in your own half? They had it more in their own 18 than they had it in the center of the pitch in our half. So, like, great. Yeah, you want to have that possession? Go for it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I guess, guys, anything else from this? I was really concerned that Ray Lee was going to get a second yellow. Towards the end there, he was playing pretty physical, and I was like, please don't get a red card in this one.
We didn't talk about the not often seen triple sub that Lilly pulled. I mean, 80th minute, I believe, he decides, okay, all three subs on at once. You never see that in a game. It's like, huh.
That's true, yeah.
Is this literally, like, really trying to, like, you know, show them, like, that's it. You guys haven't put the game away. You're all out. Everybody's like, all out at once.
I can't remember. I mean, so what? So Brett obviously comes on.
Who yeah, so it was Romeo Parks came out for Nico Brett, came in. And then Zabansky was out for, and Adewale came in. And then Kerr came out and Holland came in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily, that's him throwing the kitchen sink at it and saying we're going to go out and attack. But yeah, it's not necessarily defensive substitutions either. Excuse me as I drop stuff.
Was that your tea?
No, that was, it's going to take too long to explain.
His fidget spinner.
Tweet in to get Kevin drop.
I'm going with fidget spinner.
We'll reveal next week on the podcast.
Yeah. No, we won't. Okay. I guess anything else from this one before we move on and talk about the Fussy Boys?
The only thing I would say is now, I mean, we're tied with Cincinnati with the best goal difference in the league. So, you know, to say that we're super defensive and only win by one goal, hey, we have the best goal difference in the league, tied for the best goal difference in the league. So have that.
Yep. Have that. Run and tell that, homeboy. The Hounds get the draw. Again, it's another point. I saw the USL power rankings came out, which again mean absolutely nothing. But even though we are currently in, I believe, fourth in the East, they have us ranked fifth overall in the league. So that's good. So the Hounds, they got the win this past week against Erie Commodores. Josh, you were there. It looked like it was a rollicking good time. How was what was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, I mean it's a small little practice field. It looked like for college soccer. It's a multi-purpose field, so it had like a it was a little field, but they had enough bleachers set up for everyone, and they had a supporter section, which was nice to see for NPSL teams. So I don't know. I like seeing even the amateur/pro sides having supporters sections. So they had a couple guys over there, and we brought about, I think, 15 to 20. I can't remember exact number of Steel Army members came to the game. So, yeah, singing and chanting. They made the mistake of putting us right behind their bench. Like, literally, like, just a chain link fence between us and their bench. So the whole time we're singing, they look annoyed. Some of them were smiling and laughing, but most of them were like, oh, what the heck. So they made some choices there, but yeah, it was a good time. it was a super easy trip, which I've actually never been to Erie on the PA side, so it was cool to see that and see what the town's like.
Yeah, so the Hounds get the 2-1 win. I know there were some complaints because one of the goals was off a PK, and, you know, in replay it looked like there may have been a dive or whatever, but it, you know, games can go either way in this, so I don't feel too terrible about it. That just sort of comes with the Open Cup. But because the Hounds won, Fussy Boys come to Highmark Stadium Wednesday, which, depending on when you're listening to this, could be tomorrow. Guys,
just inform those who aren't regular listeners, who do you mean by Fussy Boys, Michael? I feel like every once in a while we need to update our terminology for everyone.
It's Bearcats FC. Know. It's Bearcats FC.
Yeah, that's who we're which talking is about. Keep going down the line.
FC Cincinnati. Yeah,
there it is. Okay.
So FC Cincinnati beat Detroit after doing some shady stuff that we talked about, only giving them 20-some tickets for their supporters to go watch the game and blah, blah, blah. They apparently, Detroit took it into OT, and then Cincy got, I think, 3 goals in overtime to win 4-1. So it's a shame, but, you know, there it is. That's the Open Cup. But Cincy comes to town on Wednesday. I'm very, very interested to see how we play this game out. Like, I feel like this is a game, especially after, you know, we went to Cincy earlier this season, got the 2-2 draw. We were basically ahead. Cincy had to battle back. A lot of people see that game as sort of the turning point in Cincy's season. Granted, they I think they had a loss during the span between that game and this game, but they did just win again this weekend. I think they won this weekend. Jeez, I'm all over the place. Anyway, Cincy comes to town. Looks like the game's sold out. Word is there could be a lot of Cincy fans here. Josh, you're Coach Lilly. How do you approach this game? What is more important? Is it this game or is it the game this weekend against Penn FC?
Yeah, this game is huge. So I've been told, at least from some people close to the front office, that this is a game that they absolutely are putting everything behind. This is priority one to win this game because this is how you get recognition in this city. You winning the league is going to be great. I mean, that's something that I'm looking forward to. But this game, getting an MLS team here in Highmark is going to get butts in the seats, and it's going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. Just making a deep run in this will be a huge deal. So, yeah, they're prioritizing this game. There's a reason why, you know, we didn't have Nico Brett starting last game. They were resting him for this one.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, let's not forget, since he made it all the way to the semis last year in the U.S. Open Cup, and I think they have a big chip on their shoulder because of it, for them to come here, if we were to knock them out and put them back in their place, granted they'd still be first place in the East because this game doesn't count towards, you know, league play, I think that sends a huge message, not only to Cincy, but to sort of the rest of the league. Like, look out. Kev, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we can, oh my gosh, if we can beat Cincy, I mean, I think that's a turning point for a season. I think that solidifies the conversation that, you know, it's us, Cincy, and Louisville kind of in, as like the big powerhouses in the East. Although, you know, Charleston will have something to say about that, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, it's a huge game, especially, I mean, if everyone ends up showing up. I mean, okay, so the game sold out. If everyone actually shows up, to win in front of a stadium that big also has a lot of, you know, that carries a lot of momentum with it as well. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think it'll be huge. I think we need to prove to Cincy that we are the better team. We kind of left it in question with the draw at their place.
I didn't leave it in question.
But for me, this could be the turning point of the season. This could be the defining moment. This could be everything. I'm not worried about Penn FC. They have 10 points all season. We'll smash them, no problem.
But it's what's interesting to me, Kev, is your first comment was like, man, it would be great if we beat Cincy. And I think that as fans, that's been our expectation over the past few years. But I think looking at what we've done so far this year, yeah, Cincy's number one right now in the East. But I've seen no reason to think that we can't compete and we can't beat them. Like, I think in previous years, we would say, like, we think we can win. This would be great. And in our minds, it's like that would be a bit of a stretch. This is much more of a case of like Goliath versus Goliath, and just, you know, sort of see what happens.
My only thing would be, I'm pretty sure that the Cincy game was the first time Von Kissio played in center back in the mm-hmm. back three. I think it was obvious that we caught them out in that game tactically. I think for the first half, it was clear that, I mean, I don't think they even had a shot on target in the first half in that game. We were completely on top. Things changed in the second half. They change up their system and they come back into the game. So I don't, you know, I'm not worried, but I mean, I think that'll be an interesting kind of talking point in the game. Is now maybe the cat's out of the bag with the whole tactics surprise Lily has over Cincy. But I think I'll also say we've shown enough examples, whether we go away from Cincy or go away to Tampa. I think these players aren't fazed by anything. I'm not worried about this being too big of an occasion for the players. I think every single one of them is just going to keep playing the way they're taught to play from Lily. And so I think we're not going to be shaken by it at all. I think there's not going to be nerves. I think there's going to be excitement in the dressing room, and that makes me excited. And I think we'll get a good result.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game, yes, but at the same time, we've been up against Cincy at their house, and we've shown that we can. And as far as the tactics go, how we won't be catching them off guard, I mean, that's Lily. He's going to have something else up his sleeve for this game. It doesn't mean, you know, it's going to be the exact same situation.
If he does, man, I'm going to get like a tattoo of his face on my arm or something.
I
mean,
I thought you
heard it.
I'm actually kind of surprised.
You heard it here. We're getting Lily tattoos.
We're
going to
be live streaming that tattooing, by the way. So it's going to be great. Everyone tune in for that.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for him to pull out a system soccer has never seen. But like, I don't know how. Like a 1-1-7-4. I don't even know if that doesn't add up. But like he's going to have to do something insane.
It's going to look like mayhem. It's going to look like Bumblebee soccer, but it's actually going to be madness behind his,
Perfectly orchestrated. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. But another thing with it, though, is it's the belief. And like right now, since he has that belief that this is their competition, that they've gone so far and they went to the semifinals last year, they have the belief that they can make a run in the Open Cup. The question is, do the Hounds players have that belief that they can also do the same? And do they have the belief that they can, you know, knock over Cincy in this? We are a little bit lucky in the fact that Cincy with Detroit, they had overtime and they had just as many games as we did as far as this goes in the last stretch, but they have played more minutes. So hopefully, you know, their legs are a little bit more tired than our legs. It's something that we can hopefully, you know, count on. I don't want to say count on, but, right. You know, could be. But they also had their game at home where we had ours at Tampa. So, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Who knows?
Yeah. I think I don't know. I think I said, you know, going into this past weekend that this game against the Rowdies was like the biggest game so far of the season in terms of test. This game to me feels like the biggest game so far. And I stand by what I said in my rant however many weeks ago. The Hounds do not lose to Cincy at all this season, in this competition or not. Now, I think that the teams are much more even, so I think, you know, we may see some overtime in this game, which is just going to be insane to watch. But yeah, let's do this, guys. You know, score predictions. Josh, what are you calling here?
You know, I'm going with an old score that I usually went to, 2-1 Hounds. I do feel like we don't keep a clean sheet against Cincy. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I could see this being a higher score game because it is more important. Obviously, it can't end 0-0, so it has to be a winner. But I don't think it goes to extra time. I really do think this is decided in 90 minutes.
That would be like the icing on the cake. Like, aha, we beat you in regular time too. Kev, you look deep in thought over there. Like you're like Doctor Strange in Avengers, like trying to picture all of the different scenarios, trying to find just the right one.
I don't get the right.
Do you know who Doctor Strange is?
Yeah, I did see that movie. That was pretty good.
Okay.
So no, the reason why I'm in deep in thought is because I think we'll go 1-0 up, and then Cincy will throw everything and at us as the game continues. And I can see, you know, Romeo coming on in like the 70th minute, and just, you know, Cincy goes a little bit light on defense in order to try to get the equalizer, and Parks breaks away and finishes it off. So, I mean, I could see a 2-0, but I'm going to say 1-0. I'm going to say 1-0. I think the past couple of weeks I've been kind of over the top with my predictions. I'm going to go back to a more realistic thing that I think will happen. I think it's going to be 1-0.
You guys both had me, like, convinced. Like, Josh, I was like, yeah, I don't know if we're going to keep it out. And then, Kev, when you're like, oh, no, it's going to be – I'm thinking you're going to say 2-0.
I think I'm kind of on the fence whether or not it be 1-0 or 2-0 because I think Parks – yeah.
I think I'm going to say 3-2. I think it's going to be edge of your seat 2-2 until, like, final minutes. And being at home, Hounds are going to sort of get a rush at the end, and we're finally going to see Francois put one away, like, that's really close. And we're going to go, there it is. This could be insane. So, yeah, I think 3-2. Just so everybody knows, we're not doing, like, this was sort of the preview for that game. Justin was trying to figure out how to do all the previews with all of the games coming up. Because, the Hounds are basically playing 7 games in 3 weeks. This will be their 4th game in 10 days. So, like, they're playing a ton. So, Justin will have a preview show coming up this week for Penn 15. And then he's trying to do a preview that we might add to the show next week for Nashville, which is midweek next week. And then he's trying to line up a kickers preview as well. So he is working hard over there, getting the connections, trying to get us all the info that we can. But yeah, so that's what we think about. Fussy boys, it's going to be one heck of a game. I cannot wait. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think this is the most excited I've been for a Hounds game in a long time.
Yeah, so it's gonna be really, really good.
I'm just excited to be in the Open Cup still because of last year.
One game. Like, this is where the bar is, Josh. Like,
that's what I'm saying. This whole season, it's so great because everything. If they don't, completely screw up, I'm just like, man, this is a great season. I know that bar's low, but you know what? I'm enjoying it.
And I'll tell you what, like, we continue to making buzz around City. We're continue to making buzz around city. Like, that was just a terrible sentence. Anyway, my neighbor who lives across the street, fantastic guy. Like, we're out in Ligonier, and he was like, hey, the Hounds are doing really good this year, aren't they? Like, how much are tickets? And I'm like, yeah, they are doing really good this year. Like, people that you would never expect to talk about soccer are talking about soccer. And I think if we get a win in Cincinnati and the media, or against Cincinnati, and the media gets a sniff at how important this is, and they're like, well, wait a minute, Cincinnati went how far last year, and what is this? Like, the momentum is just going to keep rolling. So
I think it's the MLS game. If as soon as they get to say, like, hey, Hounds are playing, Columbus, or Hounds are playing DC United, or whatever it is, people are going to be like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Especially if it's home. If it's home, I'm so
excited.
Oh,
no, I totally agree. I think that's going to generate huge buzz, but I think the history between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in general, if it's like, we knocked Cincinnati out, and, everybody hates the Bengals, then super. So, yeah, that's what we think about this game. Let us know. It's obviously going to be a huge one. Guys, Saturday, 7 p.m., Penn 15, come to Highmark. It is a blackout. It is the first time we're going to see the black kits, which is awesome. The marketing power is at full steam. They put out a picture of Kevin Kerr rocking the black kit today.
By the way, was that the first time he wore the white with the black shorts against Tampa?
Yeah.
That looked amazing. I thought that looked really good.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the white on whites until I saw the white with black, and I was like, oh, that looks really good. I wish they would sell the shorts. Like, I don't know why. Like, I have enough jerseys that, like, I wear,
like, I'm just picturing you waking up on a Saturday morning making breakfast for your lovely family in full kit, like, just like scrambling.
Sorry,
eggs.
All I'm thinking is full kit wanker right now. Yeah. It's in my head. Yeah, aren't they just regular shorts? Can't you just buy soccer shorts and just, like, here, you take one of the patches and just sew it on there?
Well,
you're fine.
Yeah, but I don't know where to get the patches at, so otherwise I would. But no, like, if I'm going to play pickup or something like that, like, I don't want to be that guy that shows up wearing a jersey. Like, I'll wear, like, a t-shirt, but if I have a pair of Hounds shorts, I'll wear those to play in. Or if I have, like, socks, I'll wear socks. I don't know. Yeah, moving on. Anyway, so Penn 15 coming to town. They're all over the map, I think, as we expected. They beat Tampa 3-0 at home. So this is, we know Tampa's a terrible team on the road. They lost 1-0 to Ottawa, and then they beat Toronto 1-0 last weekend. So they've actually had a full week off. They have 2 weeks to prepare for us. Kevin, you just said we're just going to smack them all over the field. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, no, I think we should have beat them last time. We got a weird draw, but that was at the beginning of the season when we weren't the powerhouses that we are now. Not worried about this game at all. I'm actually upset that you're making me think about it instead of the Cincy game. I'm upset, Michael. I want to talk about Cincy. No, it's in jest. No, I think. What?
Get over it. This is what the people want, Kevin.
Is it? We want
no.
The Cincy. No, I'm kidding. We'll get a fine result. We certainly won't lose. Frankly, I mean, I don't know. I just want to go the entire season unbeaten. How amazing would that be? I don't even care if we get the same number of like draws and wins and all that kind of stuff. That'd be incredible. So the longer we can keep our unbeaten streak running, that'd be it's just a great headline.
Yeah. Josh, what do you think?
It's going to be unpopular, but I'm a little bit worried about the game. I know they're easy team. They should be, but we're coming off of a lot of games here. We're going to have a lot of tired legs. This isn't, you know, it's going to feel like we should be able to relax this game, but if we do relax too much, they can show up. I mean, they got three against the Rowdies. I know the Rowdies suck at, you know, away, but they still got three goals against the Rowdies. But with that said, I feel like a 1-0 would be a fine result. The fact that they only got 1-0 against Toronto tells you something. I mean, they should be an easy team to win against. They're not a high-scoring team. I think they've only had more than one goal once this season. Yeah, only once this season. So I don't expect them to be that hard in the offense. I'm just worried about our offense showing up and being able to do something since their legs are going to be pretty tired from all these games. So 1-0.
Yeah, because you figure basically this will be our fourth game in the same span that they've played none.
Yes.
So like, yeah. Well, that's a legit point. So Kev, I don't know if you were signaling me or like waving us on
we're
in traffic.
It's fine.
All right.
It's fine.
All right, cool.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know what? I'll say 1-0 as well. I mean, this is also a Keystone Cup game. So we got two cup games this weekend. We got Open Cup and we got Keystone Cup. So I think that if we go up early, I think this is one that coach sort of says, okay, let's pack it in and let's just get the point, or let's take the points. Let's rest up our legs a bit and get ready, because Nashville comes to town next Wednesday. And then we have the Kickers. So like I said, we'll have a nice little 2-week stretch after that to sort of relax a little bit, potentially. But yeah. So we'll see what happens. That's what we think. Let us know what you think. Kev, why'd you just point to yourself? You just giving yourself ups? Like you?
I didn't, no.
You're making all these crazy hand gestures today. I don't know what's going on over there.
I'll explain it to you after the podcast, Mike. It deals with the thing I dropped. So, you know, another clue for you sleuths out there.
You're so mean to people. You know that? You're the worst. Kevin's what? Coming to... Hey, Kevin's coming to town. So, yeah, I know. Typically, I don't get into games. I get into games. I don't get in four games. I'm going to try to make it in with the family for the Nashville game, which I know is a Wednesday, so not a lot of people there. But if you see me, feel free to come up, say hello. I'm going to actually try to bring... If the Steel Army is there, which I'm going to guess they're there, even though it's a Wednesday game, I'm going to try to bring the kids over at least for a little bit and just tell them earmuffs at certain times, just because I think they've got to experience that and start getting that fandom in their veins and start getting the craziness and just jumping and yelling and all of that. So that would be that game. And then, Kevin, you're coming in for the Red Bulls game, which is in mid-June. There's something else going on for that game. I forget what it is.
That's Mr. Rogers' night.
That's right. It's Mr. Rogers' night. Yeah. So, Kevin, you picked a great time to come in.
I planned it. Planned it all.
I did nothing of the sort.
I did not.
So if you want to come and tell Kevin how wrong he is about everything, that is the night to do it. And then we're going to try to plan a big party game, I think, in September. Kevin feels somewhat confident that he'll be in for the Bethlehem Steel game in September. And so it'll be us. Evan from the USL show will be there. Obviously, Hugh Roberts, who has Backyard Footy, will be there. It's going to be sort of like a big BGN party. So maybe we'll do some sort of tailgate and just blow it out, and it's going to be a good time. But we'll have more information on that as we get closer. But I think that's it for this one, guys. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group and team at roughneckscarves.com. If you're looking for more great Pittsburgh soccer news, head over to pittsburghsoccernow.com. If you're looking for the latest on other USL teams, head over to bgn.fm and check out the other podcasts that are there. We're actually going to announce another one this week that has nothing to do with actual soccer on the field. I'm just going to leave that out there. You'll have to wait and see. But it's something that sounds really, really cool, and they do a really good job, so you have to check that out. You can follow us on Twitter at Mongols and at WoMongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about this one. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.